The Murderer in Ruins, C.I. Frank Stave, Book 1. Written by Kai Rademacher and read by Mark Meadows.
Chapter 1. A Cold Awakening. Monday, the 20th of January, 1947. Still half asleep, Chief Inspector Frank Stave reached an arm out across the bed towards his wife, then remembered that she'd burned to death in a firestorm 3.5 years ago. He balled his hand into a fist, hurled back the blanket, and let the ice-cold air banish the last shades of his nightmare. A grey dawn light filtered through the threadbare damask curtains he had salvaged from the rubble of the house next door. For the last 5 weeks, he had secured them to the window frames every evening with a few drawing pins he got hold of on the black market. The window panes were as thin as newspaper, and even encrusted with ice on the inside. Stave was afraid that one of these days the glass would crack under the weight of the ice. Even the thought was absurd. These windows had been shaken by the shockwaves from countless exploding bombs without shattering. The blanket was frozen against the wall in places. In the dim early morning light, the layer of hoarfrost on the walls was so thick they looked as if they were covered with a layer of calloused skin. All that remained underneath was a few strips of wallpaper that might have been fashionable in 1930, stained plaster and in places just the bare wall itself, black and red brickwork and pale grey mortar. Slowly, Stave made his way to the tiny kitchen, its icy floor tiles freezing the soles of his feet, despite 2 pairs of old socks. With stiff fingers, he groped around in the little countertop wood burner, until at last he got a fire glowing in its tiny barrel-shaped belly. There was a stench of burning furniture polish, because the wood he had been feeding into it used to be a dark chest of drawers from the bedroom of the house next door, which was hit by a bomb back in the summer of 1943. Not just a bomb. The bomb, Stave thought to himself. The bomb that took his wife from him. While he waited for the block of ice in the old Wehrmacht kettle on top of the stove to melt and at the same time bring a little warmth into the apartment, he pulled off the old wool pullover, the police tracksuit, 2 vests and the socks in which he had slept. Carefully, he set them down on the rickety chair next to his bed. With an allowance of just 1.95 kilowatts of electricity a month, precious energy reserved for the hot plate and his evening meal, he didn't switch on the light. He had taken care, as always, to lay out his clothes in the same order so that he could put them on in the gloom. Stave splashed glacial water on his face and body, the drops burning his skin, causing him to shiver involuntarily. Then he put on his shirt, suit, overcoat and shoes. He shaved slowly, carefully, in the half-light. He had no way of making lather and his razor blade was dull. New ones wouldn't be available on the ration coupons for a few weeks yet, if at all. He let the rest of the water continue to warm up on the stove. Stave would have liked freshly ground coffee, like he used to drink before the war. But all he had was ersatz coffee, a powder that produced a pale grey brew when he poured the lukewarm water on it. He stirred in a spoonful of ground acorn roasted a few days previously so that it at least had a bitter taste. Add a couple of slices of dry, crumbling bread. Breakfast. Stave had traded in his last real coffee at the railway station yesterday, in exchange for a few crumbs of worthless information. He is a chief inspector of police, a rank introduced by the British occupation forces, and one that, to Stave, who grew up with terms such as criminal inspector or master of the watch, still sounds odd.